was considered to be about long balls, about Route 1, about Pomo, about getting it in the mixer. But this was a darker period for more significant reasons, as an overwhelming hooligan problem meant English football was derided both in the national media and across Europe. The nadir came with the 1985 European Cup final at the Heysel Stadium in Belgium, when Liverpool supporters charged at Juventus fans, resulting in 39 people being killed by a collapsing wall. English clubs were subsequently banned from European competition for 5 years, and English footballing culture, traditionally slow to embrace tactical innovations from abroad, consequently became even more insular. There were other tragedies. A fortnight before the Heysel disaster, 56 people were killed at Bradford City's Valley Parade by a fire that engulfed an entire stand within minutes. 4 years later, grave policing errors at Hillsborough resulted in the deaths of 96 people, a tragedy subsequently blamed consistently and incorrectly upon supporters. In the aftermath of the Bradford fire, a leading article in the Sunday Times described football as a slum sport played in slum stadiums, increasingly watched by slum people. It was a desperately distasteful description, but serves as a useful low watermark for measuring English football's subsequent development. Slum people. The problem of hooliganism was largely defeated in the years that followed. Slum stadiums. The Taylor Report recommended all-seater grounds, and the Premier League's formative years were dominated by new or dramatically renovated stadiums. Slum sport. English football changed enormously during the Premier League era, its popularity rising dramatically, first within England and then across the world. While the Premier League was identical in its basic sporting structure to its predecessor, the old First Division, England's top flight benefited from something of a rebrand considering the aforementioned problems, and 1992 isn't an entirely arbitrary start date for football's modern age, as explained in the opening chapter. The concept of the Premier League enabled top-flight clubs to gain independence from the Football Association and the Football League, allowing them to negotiate lucrative broadcast and sponsorship contracts. The broadcasting aspect proved most significant. A bidding war between ITV and Sky ensued, with the latter securing TV rights in a move that completely transformed its previously loss-making satellite subscription service. Incidentally, Manchester United manager Alex Ferguson was one of the fiercest critics of the Premier League, ridiculing the concept as a piece of nonsense that would sell supporters down the river. But Ferguson would define the division more than anyone, winning 13 of the first 21 titles before his retirement in 2013. This book isn't an account of the Premier League's business development, but it's impossible to ignore the extraordinary surge in TV revenue. The Premier League received £51 million per season in broadcasting rights between 1992 and 1997. Then considered a staggering amount. This sum increased exponentially over the next two decades, reaching £2.75 billion per season by 2016, 50 times more than in 1992. Sky were effectively paying over £11 million to screen each live match, a staggering figure when you consider rights to the entire final old First Division season cost less than £15 million. A division essentially created to provide televisual entertainment has proved successful beyond anyone's wildest dreams. It's worth remembering, too, that these figures weren't plucked out of thin air. Broadcasters could justify paying these eye-watering sums because of the huge public demand, which was fueled by the Premier League becoming such a fantastic spectacle, the world's most thrilling league. Set against the dark days of the 1980s, it represents an incredible turnaround. How did the football, the product, as the marketing men would say, become quite so good? This book seeks to explain how. Although the 25 years are represented by 25 chapters, this is a thematic rather than a literal season-by-season account. The focus is upon the revolutionaries, the innovative managers, the game-changing players, the inspirational teams, the new tactical concepts, the off-field developments that influenced playing styles. The story is about the Premier League becoming universal in two different ways. First, it became universal on a tactical level. In the early 1990s, there were very specific demands for every position. Defenders simply defended, attackers simply attacked. But gradually, positions became more all-encompassing, with defenders expected to start attacking moves and attackers encouraged to start defensive pressure. Players were increasingly all-